Hallelujah. And so honored and thankful to be back in Montville and celebrate the Super Sunday with you. And also, this is not just a one-off service, but we are going to be here all week. Everybody say all week. Amen. Praise God. I heard somebody say before, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Amen. Sometimes when we have our celebrations or we have some get-togethers or parties or festivities, you know, we have that one little afternoon or evening thing where we got people over. But back in the Bible days, they used to celebrate all week. Amen. Praise God. So we're celebrating all week. It's not just a Super Sunday. Hallelujah. But there's going to be revival all week. And I know I just got up here, and I'm not trying to make any enemies. But Pastor did forget one more announcement. We'll be giving away the Holy Ghost right after service. We got some more gifts and prizes. You can't hold it with your hand, but you can have it in your heart. Praise God. And it's available every service you come. So don't miss a beat, because you got to be present. Amen. Amen. God's always giving out gifts. But you got to be present to win. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. As you remain standing, we're going into the Bible to read some scriptures here. And I'm not going to be very long before you, but I do feel like God wants to give somebody an opportunity. Amen. To receive what you believe for, even in the prayer time. Maybe you didn't come up for prayer, and there's some things that you need from God. God knows exactly what you need even before you ask. And somebody say, He's able. He's able to supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Amen. So God is not disabled. He is well able. He is well able to provide. Amen. Genesis chapter 6, 26. Praise God. Reading from verse 17. Amen. There's a few times I was able to come but not bring my family, but I'm so glad my family got to travel with me this time. Our two boys, I don't think our youngest boy has ever been here before, but so awesome that we get to celebrate this week with you and see all what God wants to do. I'm just going to say this, you know, it was already said this earlier in the service, but God can do anything. And I've also seen where I believe it was your grandson. He was praying in the altar one of the services we were here, and he had something going on with his leg or his feet or something, and God healed him right there as he was praying. He said, I prayed real hard, and God touched me. Amen. And if God can do it for grandson, God can do it for grandpa. Praise God. We even had somebody testify. I feel the Holy Ghost. Can I just testify? I'm not talking about something that happened over in Africa, over in the Middle East. I'm talking about something that happened where you're standing right now. We had somebody testify that God opened their ears in the middle of the preaching right there about a few rows back. Praise God. Hallelujah. And there's somebody here that needs a healing in their ear. Praise God, Brother Joey. And I believe that God can do it. As a matter of fact, I think you're sitting in the same row that Sister Tammy was sitting in when God healed her and opened her ear. Hallelujah. In the middle of the preaching, God can do it. And if you just lift your faith, God will do anything if you just believe. Yes, sir. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Genesis chapter 26, reading from verse 17. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. Everybody say, he dwelt there. He wasn't there just to visit, but he began to set up shop. He lifted up the tent and set it up, everybody say, in the valley. What an interesting place to want to stay. Why would this man, he could have found any place to pitch a tent and decide to be there for a while. But Isaac was bold enough. he had enough courage. He had enough faith that I can camp around here for a while. And we're going to read a few more scriptures to give you some insight why he decided to dwell in a valley. Amen. Now, spiritually speaking, most people don't want to be in a valley. We want to be on the mountain. We don't want to be down low. We want to be up high. But Isaac found something there. He knew that something was there that would be a blessing that many people wouldn't be able to recognize. So the Bible says after he set up a tent right there in the valley, Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. I want to preach from this scripture today and help somebody realize that you are looking in places where God's not moving. You're searching for things that only God can provide, and you're looking in the wrong places. You think that because of where you are right now, that you can't have what God has promised you. And there is a promise of the Father in this place. Hallelujah. But it's not just somewhere else where you can have to go and maybe it's more comfortable for you. And no. It's right here. Hallelujah. Even if you feel like where you are is a valley situation. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost speaking to somebody this morning, hallelujah, that God wants to open up some things for you that you've been looking for a long time. Maybe your heart is thirsty and you're feeling a little parched and dry in your spirit, but if you just get to digging where you are, you're going to find that there's a well of water in the valley. Hallelujah. God can place wells in your wilderness. And so I want to preach from this scripture for the duration of where that we're here in this sanctuary before we go and enjoy the rest of the day. I want to preach to you that something's about to spring up. Something. I want you to tell the person next to you that. I want you to say that. And while you say it, I believe God's going to speak it with you. Come on, some of you are standing next to people. Go ahead, look them straight in the eye. Something's about to spring up. Hallelujah. Come on, this is not just a dry place. Hallelujah. This is not just a wilderness. This is not just a valley situation. But if you get to digging where you are, God's going to let you strike, hallelujah, a well that'll spring up, praise God, into everlasting life. Thank you, Lord God, for your spirit and your power in this place. Thank you for this crowd of beautiful people that you brought here to hear your voice and to fellowship with the body of Christ. We ask you, Lord God, to let your spirit move and have its way. Heal, feel, deliver, break, change, and mend the broken. Set at liberty those that are bruised in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We take our hands off of the environment and the atmosphere, and we want you to have your way, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody lift your voice and thank God in advance for what he's going to do, not just in your life, but in the life of those that are with you right now. In Jesus' name, go ahead and let us sound the praise. Come on, that's right. With all that's within you, go in and bless his holy name today. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. You may be seated today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you might be new here. Some of you might not be familiar with an apostolic atmosphere that you're sitting in right now and the sounds of praise and worship that are going up. But can I tell you today that people are shouting, people are lifting their voice because they realize how good their God is. Hallelujah. There are people in this room that have found something in the middle of their trial, in the middle of tribulation, in the middle of a valley, in the middle of a wilderness. Somebody had enough courage to say, I'm not going anywhere. But if God has me right in the middle of this dry place, the only way, oh, hallelujah, the only place to begin to go and begin to look is to begin to dig down deep and begin to break ground so that something beneath the surface can begin to rise to the top. Can I tell you right now what you're looking for in the Holy Ghost? What you're looking for in the Spirit is not going to be found on the surface. But if you begin to dig, if you begin to go beyond what you see and begin to lift your voice and begin to lift your hands, you're going to find something in the atmosphere that God will cause to spring up in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, there's a power in this place. There is authority in this place. There is healing in this place. There's deliverance in this place. And you can have it if you want it, but you've got to decide, I'm not going anywhere until I spring it up. Come on, somebody say it's about to spring up. It's about to spring up. Hallelujah. It's going to come from the surface. If I just break ground, if I just go beyond what I see and begin to look for what God has here before I even got here. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, look over to the person next to you and tell them, your well is waiting. Hallelujah. Come on, you're not in a dry place. Some of you feel like, I know there's some things that I need in my life. There's some things that I want God to do, and I haven't seen Him do it. Maybe God's not, He's not able. Maybe I just don't understand God enough. Maybe God is punishing me. Some of you have said that to yourself. Well, maybe God is punishing me, or maybe I'm just not doing this right. Can I tell you, the only thing you need to do is get your shovel out and start breaking up ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does that look like? That looks like me getting the tools that are afforded to me by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's a tool called the Bible. It's sharp. Hallelujah. And any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And when I put that sword to the ground, hallelujah. When I put the sword to the soil, something is about to break. Something is about to spring up. I'm going to find something that God has put there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your well is waiting. And if you want that well to show up, you're going to have to put the sword to the soil. What does that mean? The Bible says that our hearts are like ground. Our hearts are like soil that God wants to put seeds there so that something can take and germinate and begin to grow up. Hallelujah. Can I tell you right now, sometimes we might not see the fruit of what God is trying to do in our lives, but can I tell you, you're not going to see fruit immediately. Sometimes God has to let that seed get buried in the ground. Hallelujah. And when it stays there and it seems like everything is gone and nothing's happening and my seed has died, that's the best thing that could ever happen in your life. Because when the seed dies, that means something is about to give life. New life can't come until something dies. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And that God wants new life to spring up in somebody's life this morning. Hallelujah. But you got to realize, in order to get the new life, the old one's got to die. I've got to put to death my habits, put to death my thoughts, put to death my attitude, put to death my opinions, and just open my heart and say, yes, Lord. Sometimes we can block our own blessings because we've got too much opinions. Sometimes we can block our own blessings, hallelujah, because we are trying to do God's job for Him. Hallelujah. But if we allow God to begin to dig down deep, and sometimes we don't want God to do that, because when He begins to dig down, we're not sure what He's about to find down there. And we're intimidated by what we've buried. Hallelujah. And we don't want to unearth those things because we're ashamed of what's down there. We're ashamed of the bones that we've buried. But God is not ashamed, nor is He intimidated by your past. Hallelujah. God doesn't expect you to come to Him perfect. He wants you to come as you are. And He's good enough. He's God enough that He's not going to leave you as you are. You can come as you are, but you're going to leave as He is. Hallelujah. And when you let that heart be open to the power of God, the impact of the Holy Ghost will begin to transform you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you're not going to find it if you're living on the surface. And Isaac understood that. So when he got there, everybody else that just passing through that area probably wouldn't even think this is a good campsite. But because of what he knew, he not necessarily probably didn't really see it in his life. Maybe as a kid, he was with his father going through, and maybe he saw some things. Maybe he didn't. But he knew some things. Maybe he heard stories. Maybe he knew that at some point, this is the spot where something sprung up before. And if this is the place where it sprung up before, then chances are, if I get to work right here, it'll spring up again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are some people here, you're not new to Apostolic Lighthouse. You've been here before, and maybe some things got buried in your life, and the well is not running like it used to, but you're back in the same spot. And the well used to spring up. But if you get to work in the spot where it sprang up before, you're going to find that it's going to spring up again. Hallelujah. You don't have to look anywhere else. Where you're at is where you need to be. And when you begin to dig, God will cause something to spring up. But here's where people get lost in the sauce. We get lost in the sauce, Brother Joey, because we dig wells, and just like in this story, the Bible says they begin to fight Isaac because of what he found. Wait a minute. Why would you fight me for what I found? Because not everybody's going to be excited about your well. You see, this well was a source. They used this well, especially in a dry place that wasn't near a body of water or a river. They would dig because that's the spot where they're going to begin to set up a camp, a civilization, a place for people to live, and life can be sustained where there's a flow. And so, when they dig that water up, that means they can water their agriculture, their crops. That means they can water their animals, their livestock. And they can sustain themselves in a place where there's a well. Can I tell you plainly today? You can sustain your soul where there's a well. Amen.
And God has a well for everyone that's weary. Hallelujah. God has a well for everyone that is thirsty. Oh, hallelujah. Those that are thirsty, let him come and drink of the well of life. Hallelujah. You are that are weary and heavy laden. He said, God said, I will give you rest if you just come to the well.
But they fought him for the well. And Isaac, he didn't fight back the people that were fighting them. And I think that's where we get lost sometimes. What does that look like in our life? That looks like you saying, well, I'm going to give everything to this church thing. I'm going to give everything to God. I'm going to live for God with everything I've got. All of a sudden, your friends start to just stop talking to you. They start talking, well, why you got to dress like that? Why? Oh, you can't come over because why are you going to church so much? All week? Just go on Sunday. Here it is. We're okay with you just going on Sunday. But if you can't come and hang out with us no more, if you can't come smoke it up with us no more, if you can't come drink it up with us no more, come on, somebody. I know the landscape that we're living in. Hallelujah. If you can't medicate it up with us no more, I don't know if I can be your friend. You don't need those kind of people, because those kind of people will leave you on the surface. And when you're on the surface, there is no water to sustain your thirst. But if you're... Oh, hallelujah.
Look at what Isaac did. Isaac said, I found this well springing up.
And people began to fight him because of what he found. And I'm going to warn you, if you choose to give 100% to God, that will mean that those that do not want to give 100% to God will purposefully misunderstand you. It's not an accident. They don't want to understand your dedication to God. Because your dedication to God puts pressure on them. And when you begin to live right, hallelujah, it makes them feel like they gotta live right. And they don't like you for that. It's not because you're trying to be righteous and holier than thou. It's because you're trying to live right and you're just trying to be holy, period. But your decision puts pressure on them because they know they should be doing what you're doing. They should be going where you're going. Don't you back down. You just keep on digging. And when you keep on digging, you'll keep finding wells. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you are afraid of losing friends. Some of you are afraid of being misunderstood. Don't you turn your back on God for people that don't really care about you. If they cared about you, they'll be happy for what God is doing in your life. Those are the people that'll take up a shovel with you. And they'll decide, if they're going to go, I'm going with them. I'm not going to stop them from making their life better. I'm going to go with them. And oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you, the greatest soul winners in New London, Norwich, is sitting in this room right now, and God is waiting for you to take a stand, and when you do, and when he fills you with his spirit, and when you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're going to set a standard for other people to desire the... Oh,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Look at the person next to you and say, but are you bold enough to do that? Do you have enough courage to look like the odd one, digging where nobody else will dig? And then when they see the water, that was an accident. One out of a million chance. Isaac said, okay, watch me. He decides to go somewhere else, and he digs there too, and he finds a well, and they fight him again. All right, two out of a million.
Watch me. He goes again and begins to dig a well and finds water there. And when they realize wherever he goes, if he digs, if something's about to spring up. Hallelujah. We're not. Oh, hallelujah. If you can't beat him, you might as well. Oh, and that's going to be the testimony of some people in this place. Stop giving up on God because others around you are intimidated by your holiness and intimidated by you giving your life to God. You keep on digging because your will might feed them too. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Something's about to spring up in this place. Hallelujah. And if you're thirsty, there's a well here. If you're dry, there's water here. Hallelujah. See, here is water. What is going to hinder you from having your sins washed away and having your soul refreshed by the river? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me right now. Hallelujah. Somebody say, my well. Come on, everybody say, my well is waiting on me. Because I can't give you the well. I can tell you about the well, but
I got to dig it myself.
You got to dig it yourself. So now the question is, Joey, can you dig it? Do you want some? Stop complaining about what you don't have when you've got the tools and you're in the right place and it's the right time. Hallelujah. So what are you going to do? Are you going to do what you always do and then complain that God didn't do something? He's waiting. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you to get to digging. How do I dig it? How do I dig it? I got to get the tools out. The tool is the word of God. The tool is the worship. The tool is my prayers. Hallelujah. And when I begin to use those tools, even in a valley, I'll find a well. So the Bible tells us, we fast forward to the New Testament. The Bible tells us in John chapter 4, there is a woman beginning to approach. Jesus sends his disciples because he knew he had an appointment with somebody that they probably wouldn't offer the well to, if you know what I mean. So he gets to this well. This woman comes with her water pots. And he looks at her and say, can you get me a drink? She's like, how are you, being who you are, you're starting to ask me for something to drink? And see, God has a way of, he's not expecting us to have all the answers, but he's waiting for us to ask the right questions. And so he looks at her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's sitting on this well, you would have asked me to drink. So that means Jesus wasn't thirsty. But if he was willing to respond to Jesus, Jesus would be willing to respond to her. And that's the testimony of somebody today. He told her, if you knew who was talking to you and you knew the gift of God, you would have asked me for drink and I would have given you living water. Not just natural water. You know, you go in the store, some of you are very particular about your water. You want your pH balanced water. You want your spring water.
your artesian well water from Fiji. Some of y'all are particular about your water. But ain't no water like the living water. So she looks at him and says, "You don't even have a water pot. I understand why you're asking me for a drink, because you have nothing to draw the water with. How in the world are you going to give me living water?" He said, "It's not just about the water. It's about the well. You see, when you drink of this water, you're going to need to drink of it again. But if you drink of the water that I'm going to give you, you will never thirst again. Why? Because when you drink of this water, you receive a well." And that's what God wants to give somebody today. Not just another sip to make your spirit feel good and then you're in need tomorrow. He wants to give you the source. The well. What does that mean? God wants to give you His Spirit. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost. How do I do that? Well, the Bible says in that story of Isaac that Isaac had to redig some wells. What does that mean? That means there were wells there before, but the Philistines stopped them up. Well, how did the Philistines stop them up? They had to throw things inside the well to clog it up so that no one could access that flow. Well, what could they possibly throw in there? Big old rocks. Shovel some dirt in there. Broken pieces of things. And when Isaac decided to remove all of those broken pieces, all of those stones, to dig away all of the dirt, something began to spring up. And the same thing can happen for you today if you are willing to remove your stones and allow God to excavate your dirt and remove your broken pieces. We can access a flow in the Holy Ghost that God wants to give you. If you are in this place, every hand lifted up and every eye closed, God lets you know that you have the well. How does He let you know? Well, the Bible says that when you receive that Spirit, says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That means something is about to spring up. He that believeth on him. And believing on God is not just a declaration of saying, "I believe in God." But you show your belief by how you respond. You gotta obey His voice. If you repent, that begins to open up your heart so that God can let the well spring up into everlasting life. He'll pour it into you. And when God pours, He's not partial. When God pours out His Spirit, He doesn't even fill you till you're full. He fills you to overflow. If you want God to overflow in your life, I want you to step out of your seat right now and come up to this front area. There are many of you, you felt like God was kind of zeroing in on your situation. So why sit there or stand there and miss the moment. You don't need to look anywhere else. Come on, as you're coming in, young people, there's more space up here. Hallelujah. So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about God wants to give you His Spirit and He'll let you know you have it. You don't have to guess if you've got God's Spirit. It'll overflow. How does it overflow? Well, while I'm worshiping and I'm praying to God, it'll overflow through the words that I'm speaking. What is that called? That's called speaking in tongues. When you are filled with His Spirit, you will speak with tongues. That's God overflowing from the inside to the outside. Some of you have already experienced that before. And it don't have to be a one-time thing. As a matter of fact, you should have that in your life as much as possible. Some of you have never experienced that. Today's your day. And now's the time. And before we pray for that well to begin to spring up, I want us to begin to make sure that there is no rocks, there's no broken piece, there's no dirt that can clog up the flow of His Spirit right now. How do I do that? Everybody say, I must repent. Come on. I was just as young as these boys right here, 10 years old, when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've seen them as young. My son, he received baptism of the Holy Ghost. I think he was 6, maybe 5. He was about 6 years old. So whether you're 6 years old or 60 years old, it's for you. It's for you. It's not just for adults. It's for you. Because every one of us have some things where the enemy can try to throw into our hearts to block God's blessing. But that can be removed by your prayer of repentance. So with your hands lifted, we're going to say, God, forgive me. Come on, pray that. God, forgive me. If there's anything in my heart that can block your flow, remove it right now. I don't want anything in my heart that can stop my miracle today. I repent right now. Can I tell you, if you meant every word that you prayed just now, God does not have to negotiate if He's going to forgive you or not. He wants to forgive you. He wants to forgive you so much, He's been waiting on you to come up and for you to say those words. So guess what? If you are genuine and sincere when you prayed that just now, you don't even have to worry. You're forgiven. You are forgiven. That's all right. You can clap for that. And now that you are forgiven, God gives you an opportunity to be baptized. Now, the Bible says that when we repent and we're baptized in the name of Jesus, it is for the remission of our sins. Repentance gives us forgiveness, but baptism gives us remission. Those sins are washed away. Somebody can get convicted by a judge. They can serve time, and now they're free. But you know what? That thing is still on their record. But you need a judge to go look at that record again and expunge it. Wipe it away from your record. Give you a new slate. That's what baptism does. You can get forgiveness of sins, but you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Why? Because when you're baptized in His name, you're not identified with who you used to be. Now you're identified with the life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And there's a moment where we'll allow you to get baptized in the name of Jesus. They are prepared for you to do that. You don't have to worry if I'm going to put on my own clothes. I'm sure they're prepared for you to get baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. You don't got to worry about your nice hairdo. We'll give you a bonnet. We'll give you something. I know some of y'all brothers are worried about your hair do more than the sisters. And it take a while to get them curls out, you know. I feel you. I feel you, brother. God cares about your curls. He ain't going to mess you up. Don't let anything hinder you from being baptized today. But that's water baptism. And we can do that for you. But what we cannot do is your spirit baptism. And that's what's going to happen right now. That's the river. That's the well that God's going to get to springing up right now in the name of Jesus. You already repented. And so the next step is very crucial, very vital. If you want the well to spring up, something has to be open. Everybody say, my heart. The best way to open your heart, the quickest way to open your heart, is to open your mouth. And as you praise God with your voice and let the sound of your voice out, this right here doesn't let anything come out. You might mean what you're thinking, but God wants what you're saying. And when you open your voice and let the sound of your voice out, God is going to begin to take those words and give you His. You're going to begin to speak in a heavenly language as the Spirit of God. Come on, you feel that? There's a wave of the Holy Ghost that's going to come through this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here and you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost and you've never spoken in tongues, I want you to lift your hands. There's nothing to be ashamed of that's never happened to you. And you want that to happen. I want you to wave your hand. We want to be very directed in how we pray today. One, two, three. If you are seeking the Holy Ghost for the very first time, I want you to be bold enough just to come a little bit to the front. We're not going to do anything to embarrass you. We don't want you to feel... I mean, we are singling you out, but you know, the awkward part's done. That's awesome. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is there anybody on this side that you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the first time? You've never felt God's Spirit springing up out of you, speaking in tongues. That's how you really know. You can ask people. I ask people all the time, have you ever received the Holy Ghost? Oh, yeah, yeah. But I say, how do you know? That's the stumper. You had enough faith just to get here. Now God's going to give you evidence. Amen. Amen. One more time. Just a few more seconds, then we're going to pray. We're not going to take long here. Just want to give... All right. Now, if you're here and you haven't spoken in tongues in a long time, it's been a while since you really felt God, I want you to step up on this side. Most of the people that are seeking the Holy Ghost for the first time is right here. If you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost, come on this side. Come on, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's all right. Come on, young people. That's awesome. I know there's some more here. And some of you are feeling like, well, I'm not a horrible person. I'm not asking if you're good or not. I'm asking if you got God or not. Amen. And this is how you are sure that you've got Him. Hallelujah. All right, we're closing it down. Now, everybody else, I want you to help support those that are praying. And if you are here, that are, you're very prayerful, you're a man or a woman of faith, you know what you're doing, you're approved of pastor to help people to pray, I want you to come up to the front, up here, to help us pray while we're praying, because there are people that are need the help of your prayers to get where God wants them to go. All right? We cannot give you the Holy Ghost, but we can help you pray. Amen. And what's going to happen as you lift your voice, you're going to feel the Holy Ghost. Don't stop speaking. There's going to be a hesitation there and a feeling like, well, what in the world is going on? Don't stop. If you feel God moving, push even further.
And when you do, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is going to take over. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the Holy Ghost to take over in this place? In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. By the power and the authority of your word in this place. Hallelujah. We pray that an outpouring of the Holy Ghost would fall on everyone that are needing it for the first time and those that need a refilling in the name of Jesus. I want you to lift your voice and shout hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice and shout hallelujah. 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 Come on, with everything you've got, hallelujah. 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 And don't stop. Keep lifting your voice. Keep shouting to God. And God's going to take control and put in you that heavenly language. Keep speaking to God. Keep lifting your voice. And watch the Holy Ghost begin to be poured out in this place. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, that's right. Keep going, brother. Go ahead. In the name of Jesus.